Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Sam Martin, the veteran for the punt, and Marcus Jones. There was no fair catch at the 12, but he squeezes out of it. Marcus Jones down the sideline. Blockers in front. Pass the punter. Marcus Jones, and that's a punt return for a touchdown.
High noon. Jones and Keefe, Patriots Monday. Patriots with a beatdown of the Panthers yesterday, 42-13, which they needed, let's face it.
Big time.
They needed a game like that. We've been breaking it down all day long. I continue to react at 617-779-7937. We do have thoughts on the Red Sox and the Yankees. Their series gets underway tomorrow here on WEI. We'll do that later on this hour. Grab bag, clip du jour, all that coming your way later on in the show as well. But this win yesterday, Keith, starting with that Marcus Jones return.
Yep.
That really turned the entire game. They started flat. It looked like Carolina was having their way with them offensively against that Pats defense. They were. Then they couldn't convert on a third down. They punt to Marcus Jones. The whole game turns right there.
What are we like? It felt like deja vu early on because we had highlighted you have three home games in your first four. And it was just terrible starts by the offense and the defense. You give up a long drive, and then you give the ball right back. And you're like, really? Like the Carolina? And then the defense, their second possession, they force the punt. Marcus Jones brings it back. And because Carolina had missed the extra point, like just like that, you have the lead. And you're like, oh. And then from there, it was just all Patriots the rest of the way. But last week, we talked about it a lot, how knowing that Buffalo is looming, the difference of a 1-3 start with three losses at home versus a 2-2 start, it's only one game, and yet it feels like 20 games. Like it's so much different to look in the standings, to see them at 2-2 ahead of the Jets and Dolphins who play tonight, but both are 0-3. And you're like, all right, you have a little separation there between those teams. And as much as we're going to look back, I feel like, and say, man, Raiders, you could have beaten the Raiders, or the Steelers could have beaten the Steelers. To say that about the Panthers would have been way over the top. The way they're going, the way their season is headed. So, yeah, this was one that they had to have. It's always silly to say any game is a must win in September, but just the way everything had lined up, it kind of was. And they get out to a little bit of a slow start, but then after that, it was just they just rolled. And that was great to see. The team desperately needed it, and they got it. So credit to them for that.
Yeah, I mean, nitpicks would be start the game on time, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And they still feel overly penalized to start these games, but those are gripes and nitpicks. They have more penalties and more penalty yards than Carolina yesterday. And again, it felt like it was clustered early on in the game. But they won going away against a team I think they needed to show themselves.
Yeah.
We don't need to barely squeak by against a team like Miami in week two. That's
right.
A game that the way it started you thought was going to be a blowout. And then you actually had to out-execute them down the stretch. You had to get stops late in the game. And that game was closer than it probably should have been.
But this one was over at halftime. It
Pittsburgh
might have been over before
Pittsburgh, because of the turnovers, was way closer.
Yeah.
You should have blown that team out.
You should have.
And so I think it was important for them to prove they could blow out a team like this. And I agree. It was over at halftime. And credit to them. They kept the throttle down. And they didn't let Carolina up off the mat like they let Miami up off the mat, or like they let Pittsburgh up off the mat with a million turnovers. This team, they kept down. And I think it's important they prove to themselves they can do it. even though it was a bad team on the other side, they proved they can do it.
But that was also the formula for most people that had them winning a lot of games and maybe even grabbing the third wild card spot. That was sort of the expectation for a lot of people. And one of the reasons, like, well, why do you think they're going to be so good? It's like, well, look at who they're playing.
Right.
And, like, they it just lined up perfectly where they play mostly trash bag teams. And the argument going into the season was, well, aren't they also a trash bag team? Or, like, what did they do enough to sort of move up from that a year ago? So it's an all-new coaching staff. They spent a lot of money specifically on defense. But then you're also hoping that the year two quarterback takes a jump. And so far, we've seen that. Like, so far, the quarterback has taken a jump. I think the defense, hit or miss. There's been good moments. There's been bad moments. They do get Gonzalez back this week, so that's obviously going to help the team going forward. But, yeah, we've at least seen the team step forward. Even last week, the offense was bad because of the turnovers. They didn't really, like, they stopped themselves. It wasn't like they punted a lot. Like, they turned it over a lot. So we've seen three straight games where, and I know, don't get me wrong, Drake May against Pittsburgh was also part of the turnover problem. But we've seen him kind of put together some pretty consistent play over the last 3 weeks. And if you get that, you're going to win a lot of these games against the middle and certainly the bottom of the league.
Yeah, I mean, May, you could argue he had his best game as a pro yesterday. And if it wasn't yesterday, then it was 2 weeks prior against the Dolphins. And the fact that we can have that debate every couple of games with him is a good sign for where that's developing and where it's going.
This is a good text. I didn't think they could score 42 points in two games, never mind one.
Right.
Oh, it's true.
It took them, what, 5 weeks to score five touchdowns last year? They scored six yesterday.
There you go.
So,
good stat.
Good, great stat.
The Nick stat of the day.
Nick stat of the
day. Early nominee for stat of the week. No, didn't we find out Dan Patrick is the stat of the day? So we're out on that.
Yeah, well, stat of the day.
Nominee stat of the week?
Nominee stat of the week.
That's a nominee, Nick.
Put it in there. Yeah. I was looking at this. I don't know if it's stat of the week nominee. I don't want to rain on Nick's parade
Nick
over
just
there.
Just had one up him.
Okay. It's the earliest in the year they've gotten their second win since 2020. Does that make sense?
No, it's too many words.
So
Nick's is way snappier.
Last year, they didn't get their second win until week eight.
They were 1-7, in other words?
Okay. 1-6.
They were 1-6, and then they got to 2.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2023, they didn't get their second win until week 7. They were 1-5 entering that game.
All right.
2022, their second win came week 5. That was with Bailey Zappi. 2021, their second win came week 5.
Some slow starts is what you're saying.
Last time they had two wins in the first 3 weeks with Cam Newton, believe it or not. In 2020. That's the last time they did it this early in the year.
That was a COVID year, Jones.
It was. Yeah. So I don't even know if you recognize that.
No, I don't.
Then you got to go back to the Brady era, Keith, to get this many wins this early in the year.
There's nobody in the stands then.
Was yesterday more about the Pats or more about the Panthers?
So I think it's about the Pats. I'm going to give the Pats credit because the Panthers aren't the only bad team. There's a lot of bad teams. And so, yeah, there obviously has to be some of that. When you look at Dave Canales, maybe a little in over his head. Bryce Young, I've never thought was a good quarterback, even going back to college. Tet McMillan is clearly their best receiver. He's also, you know, a rookie. And Chuba Hubbard is very much an average back. That's just their offense. So I don't think that they were great. But the Patriots also didn't just eke past them. You know, and the Panthers are even coming off a win. Like, it just shows, like, the NFL is so up and down.
A dominant win.
They won 30-0 as Michael Penix Jr.
Another team on the Pats schedule.
Who
they
faced.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my point. So it's like, they didn't just eke past, and it wasn't just Carolina giving them the game. Like, the Patriots made some plays, and then once they got a lead, yeah, it was comfortable, and it was a little bit of cruise control, and they were able to, you know, the game never got competitive, but no, I'm going to give the Patriots credit for this one. They went out there, and after a very slow start on both sides, then they dominated. Like, the rest of the game, Drake May was super efficient. The defense stepped up and was good. Special teams, obviously, was a turning point in the game. So, no, this was a good game. I give them credit for
it. So, me too. And even if you answer it differently than you and I, Keith, and you say, well, it's about the Panthers and the bad schedule. As we told you, 8,000 different times.
Get ready for every week after
the schedule
Buffalo.
Came out. The whole schedule, there's tons of games like this. So even if it is just an overwhelmed bad opponent, well, then the Patriots prove they can beat up on what's left on the schedule. As you said earlier, it's Buffalo this week, Buffalo a second time, Baltimore and Tampa. Those are pretty much the good teams left on the entire schedule. So proving you could do that against an overmatched team, and just winning at home, which they haven't done enough of the last few years.
Needed that one.
All of that's important. So I do think it was more about the Patriots than the Panthers. If this were a game where you're holding on at the end and Carolina makes some sort of comeback, maybe I'd answer differently.
Well, even Miami. Like, Miami, you were thrilled to take the win, but you're like, well, like,
the Dolphins are bad.
Dolphins are pretty bad.
So I that's the perfect example. Yeah. If they played the same way, meaning, like, the Dolphins were hanging around and still knocking on the door late and you couldn't put Carolina away, maybe I'd say yesterday was more about the opponent than it was about the Pats. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way. I think it's worth giving them credit for the way they came out, because I wasn't sure. Going in, I'm like, they could lose this game and be 1-3, and now the season feels like it's over going into Buffalo Week 5. And to their credit, they didn't do it. I didn't think everything was perfect.
No.
Carolina is definitely terrible.
Sure.
But I think yesterday was more about them. They showed they can beat up on a bad opponent, which I wasn't sure they could do.
Yeah, it was a great bounce back for Drake May, who, you know, was awesome in Week 2, and then in Week 3 had some really good plays, but also the turnovers bit him. And I know people tried to explain away, like, well, the ball was tipped. It's like, well, he threw an interception in the end zone. I'm going to hold that against him. That was a bad decision by him. So I think we even talked about it on Friday, like, are you going to get the no turnover game from Drake May? And you did. And, you know, credit to him, credit to the offensive line as well. Like, they were able to keep him protected, even with Jared Wilson down. So he was super efficient in the game. The defense only allowed 2 touchdowns. Like, I mean, 13 points allowed. You're going to win a lot of games like that, even if you don't think the offense is a top 10 offense, which I don't think they are either. But if they're a middle-of-the-pack offense and the defense is giving up 13 points or less, like, you're going to win a lot of those games.
617-779-7937. What sort of team does Mike Vrabel have through the first month? This is what he had to say after the game last night.
Well, then when we don't beat ourselves and we take care of the football and we play complimentary football and we get stops on third down, the return, you know, I mean, the special teams are a factor, and we score touchdowns in the red zone, that, you know, it can look like something. So, again, that's not guaranteed every week, but certainly we can see the difference in how critical those phases are and putting them all together.
So, look, every week you're not going to get a team that keeps kicking to Marcus Jones over and over and over again. Moronic Carolina team.
I love it.
Hopefully in the future, starting with, oh, I don't know, Sunday night, the Patriots actually don't let the other team march right down their throats to start the game. Hopefully they clean up penalties. But we said going into the game, it's a huge week for Vrabel. How does the team respond to him? His whole operation is on trial. For the second time in 4 weeks, we're questioning the whole thing top to bottom. And just like they answered against Miami, although this time was in much more impressive fashion, just like they answered against the Dolphins the last time we asked the question, hey, like, is this going to get away from Vrabel early? The team answered the bell. And so I think what we learned about Mike Vrabel is he's not going to let it be a full-blown disaster. Mayo, it became a full-blown disaster.
Yeah, because it was teetering. Like, it was like this. That's how important this game was.
Yes.
Because it was like, all right, how much better is it? Like, we're still asking ourselves that. And he even gets the benefit of more money spent on the team roster-wise. Like, the talent was better for this team. Also, whether you love, like, or dislike McDaniels, he's an experienced offensive coordinator as opposed to Alex Van Pelt. So, like, Vrabel, just the head coach, you're swapping out the head coach, he is set up for more success. And if you're staring down the barrel of maybe a 1-3 start both years, you're like, what is it do?
And he has May right from the start. Remember, Mayo didn't get Drake May to start the year last year. He had Jacoby Brissett that he had to deal with. Yeah. So, yeah, he's in a way better spot. But the question was, will the team respond? And they did. And I wasn't sure what he'd do with Ramondre Stevenson.
All right, what do you think of that?
I didn't like it.
Me neither.
But it worked. You know, so I
they won the game.
Is that how I would have handled it? No. But Stevenson was fine when he was out there. He didn't fumble. He got way more
one
touches.
Big carry. Yeah.
He had way more touches than I would have given him. He got the first touch of the game. Like, I wouldn't have done any of that, but it worked. I think the way he handled Pop Douglas is closer to what I would have done. Again, I wouldn't have dressed him.
It. Yeah.
But he was barely out there. So both of those things were on trial,
yeah.
And he passed those tests. They still didn't clean up penalties. They did clean up turnovers,
oh, yeah.
And they got the win. And they're not 1-3 going into Buffalo. So I think what we learned is Vrabel's not going to let it be a disaster. And I didn't know that going into the game, and I'll give him that.
You know, when he was asked about Ramondre Stevenson before, he was saying how they're going to play their best players. And I think he still views Ramondre Stevenson as one of their best players, whereas Pop Douglas, he doesn't. And so that's why you saw, like, Kayshon Boutte, despite not coming up with a lot of catches, he played the most snaps. They feel like he's been solid for him. Steph Diggs has gotten his play elevated. Mac Hollins, I think, is at least a good baseline receiver. They don't think Pop Douglas is that good. Otherwise, he'd be playing more, right? Like, so how it ended against Pittsburgh was brutal, and like we all got to see that part of it. But he barely played against Miami, too. Like, he was already getting phased out prior to that. So I think even yesterday isn't a punishment for that play, even though you and I are like, get him off the team, for God's sakes. I just think he's getting phased out because they don't really – he and Drake May don't have very good chemistry. There's more of an upside, it feels like, for this season getting Steph Diggs involved than it would be for Pop Douglas.
Well, and you just said it. Diggs got 7 looks, 6 catches, 101 yards. He did look more explosive. I don't think he looked explosive at all the first 3 weeks of the year, so I don't think that was hard to do. But the longer he plays after the surgery, probably the more some of that should come back. It won't all come back. But he had a 33-yarder. He had a back shoulder catch on 4th down. I mean,
May only threw 17 times.
Well, no one really got a ton of targets. Booty had 3. Henry and Henderson had 2. Nobody else had more than 1.
Yeah, and Pop had 0.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't like anybody else was really getting looks. It was all hyper-focused to Diggs, which I do think getting Pop Douglas out of the way allows you to streamline that.
Definitely.
Which is one of the things we were calling for during the week. And lo and behold, I think they didn't need to do more than they did yesterday. As you just said, they barely threw. May yesterday had as many touchdowns, if you count the rushing touchdown, 3, as he had in completion. So it was an efficient day. And I think you shouldn't be surprised that they're more efficient when they're targeting guys like Stephon Diggs instead of guys like Pop Douglas, who have given you no production and doesn't even know where the sticks are on big situations.
Right. And it's funny because when they first acquired Diggs, and then when, you know, McDaniels came over, you're like, oh, he's going to get a lot out of Pop Douglas. And then you realize, well, Diggs is going to line up in the slot a lot. Pop Douglas isn't exactly Welker and Edelman. So it's like it hasn't been the fit that I think a lot of people thought it was going to be. So you kind of get him out, and now Diggs is more taking on that role, which I think is good. And like just in the game yesterday, he's got more of a connection with Diggs in the brief time he's been with him than he does with Pop Douglas.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, that's a no-brainer.
I mean, you highlighted that a bunch last week. That's something that hasn't looked right at all in these games. It looked fine in the preseason. It looked fine in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually get to games, they haven't been on the same page. May and Diggs are. So I hope they lean into that more going into his return on Sunday night in Buffalo. 617-779-7937. What does the win say about Mike Vrabel? Was yesterday more about the Patriots or the Panthers? We both agree. It says more about the Pats than it does about Carolina, but perhaps you...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Disagree again, 617-779-7937. We'll get into Drake May, his performance and his development. We'll get into the offense. What is the ceiling for the offense, and do we need to revise that upward? Again, with all your feedback coming up. But right after trending with Billy Lanny, let's get into the Red Sox and the Yankees wild card matchup beginning tomorrow in the Bronx right after trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.